Welcome to another episode of the Capital Playbook. Thank you so much for joining. My name is Charles Williams. I am the owner and managing member of Pioneer Realty Capital. And to my left here, we have the esteemed Mr. Johnny Collins.
Good to be here, Charles. Thank you. Esteemed may be a bit of an overhyped title, but thank you anyway.
I thought I was underdoing it. Yeah. but I know you're used to much more, but...
Oh, stop it.
Yeah. But Mr. Collins here is a great friend of mine, a pretty good golfer, I have to say. I think he's beat me last few times we played, but he's also an expert in title work. And so... if you're in commercial real estate, we always talk about the capital playbook, and a lot of our conversations have to do with the financing side and money and how that works. But you can get all the money for the project, but at the end of the day, that project, that transaction has to be closed.
Somebody's right? got to close it.
Right, right. And so we need a title company.
Yeah.
And what you don't know about title work could be the difference between the success of your deal and the failure of your deal, right?
True. True, absolutely. Yeah.
But before we get into our discussion, just a couple housekeeping items we want to take care of. If you are watching this on our YouTube channel, do me a favor, go ahead and subscribe to our channel and hit the little bell so that you're notified when our podcast shows, when we present a new show. And if you're listening on our other mediums such as Spotify or Apple, do the same. Go ahead and hit subscribe so that you can be up to date on what we talk about here at the Capital Playbook. With that being said, let's get into our discussion about title. Now, awesome. Mr. Collins,
Yeah. Tell
me, what does title work mean? What does the title company do? What's their role in a real estate transaction?
Well, thank you, Charles. Thank you for asking that. I always say, title is the only insurance that insures the past.
Right.
Everything else insures the future, right?
Yeah.
So just in layman's terms, basically what we do is we research property to make sure that whoever is selling the property has a right to sell, and whoever is purchasing the property has a right to hold title, basically in a full vesting state. So what I mean by that, it's fully been transferred to them legally, mm-hmm. and it's wholly theirs based on what the contract states. After that's done, we've done that research to define those needs that need to be solved or cured before that can happen. We'll come back and we'll insure it with title insurance, right? Mm-hmm. And just as an extra added layer of protection as well. So not only do we do the research on the front end mm-hmm. to make sure everybody, is who they say they are and represents who they say they represents, right? But then we come back and we insure it, mm-hmm. With title insurance. So it's really that simple.
Certainly there's a need for this, and it's probably because of what you just said. Has someone ever tried to sell a property they didn't own?
No, not in America. Yeah, every day.
Every day.
Every day somebody is, and you know what, it's not always with malintent.
Okay.
For example, sometimes you'll have, a grandmother and a grandfather who will both be deceased. Grandchildren are now involved. They just knew that grandmother and grandfather owned this property and they owned a share of it.
Mm.
So one, let's just say, ambitious, grandchild will run and get a contract and sell it. And in their mind, they're just selling what's rightfully theirs.
Right.
But what they've forgotten or what they maybe not quite understand is there are also other parties that are also recipients and that also have a share in this particular property. And you can't just run off and sell it just because you own a portion of it without everybody's, consent.
Right.
So it gets tricky. And then I've seen, Charles, so many different scenarios. And I'll tell you one that's very personal and dear to me. My mother bought some property back in the 80s. And it was a corner lot, prime time real estate.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, it was 5 acres. Total. And I guess in the early 2000s, she went to sell it only to find out that she didn't own the actual corner lot or the actual corner acre.
Wow.
It had been left out of the legal description.
Wow.
So it was not conveyed. Went back, filed a title claim. Done. No problem.
Okay. So now I want you.
But let me tell you the damages
on
that.
Okay.
When she bought the property, it was like $10,000 for that particular acre. Mm. At the time of the problem, it was over $1 million. So title insurance had to cover that.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
So the problem was with the title company that they didn't add it in the legal description.
They didn't add it into the legal description. And that's one thing that we don't necessarily always say, you know, in our pitches, if you will. And I hate that term. I always say you need to truth it versus pitch it. Mm. But yeah, that layer of insurance is a protective measure for not just the title company, but also for the client against the title company, if necessary. Mm-hmm. There's several deals that I have floating around in my ecosystem that luckily don't involve me or our organization in this situation. Although our organization, we have had claims in the past.
Okay.
Where somebody within the organization or within the hierarchy has made a mistake. Luckily for me, they've all been small. Mm-hmm. But as long as humans are involved, there's going to always be a problem.
Okay.
And what I really want to impress upon you, not only is title insurance necessary, but I would never buy anything without getting it. And it's funny because I sometimes forget I'm in the title business.
Right.
Or in the insurance business.
Right.
Because you'll do 10,000 transactions, you won't have a problem. Mm. And then one will pop up where there was an heir, the siblings didn't like this particular heir, and just, you know, accidentally, air quotes, left him off. Mm. And of course he has a share. You know, he has a stake in this. Mm. You can't just write him out of your life.
Right.
At least not from a title perspective.
Right.
He's gotta get paid too. So title insurance protects everybody that has a rightful or legal claim on property.
Okay. Well, we're gonna break down the components of title work, step by step, what happens when you go to title. Now, let me tell you why it's important that we discuss this here with the Capital Playbook. If you are borrowing money from us or any of our capital partners, and probably from any bank, they're going to require that you have title insurance. Whenever you have to pay for something, you might want to know what you're buying. Because I would imagine that not all title companies are the same.
Not at all.
Okay, so we want to understand some basics of the title business, title work, title insurance, so that when we're making or you are making an evaluation as to what title company you're going to use, that you at least have these things in mind. Remember, we're talking about trying to win in this game on the Capital Playbook, right? Absolutely. If we don't know the rules, we don't know the players, we can't win. So title policy is an insurance policy that insures the transfer of ownership of that asset. Is that correct?
Correct. The transfer of ownership, depending on the endorsements, it insures every aspect of the transaction, the conveyance of everything.
Okay. So now some of the things that a good title policy is going to have, I would say, would probably be a survey.
Well, let's go backwards.
Okay, let's do that.
A title policy is going to insure the survey.
Okay, it's going to ensure that the survey.
There's certain endorsements. The T19 is part of that. Where basically there's certain elements of the transaction the title policy is going to basically insure.
Okay.
We're not going to focus on the title policy. I want to focus on the title company.
Okay, there you
go. So, for example, because you made a great point, all title agencies or title situations are not the same.
Okay.
You have fee offices.
Okay.
You have a fee office. A fee office just simply means that there's an attorney that's basically worked a deal with a title agency. Mm. And now that fee office, that attorney has set up a fee office arrangement, which serves the equivalent of a broker and a realtor relationship.
Okay.
The broker carries, you know, the bulk of the risk, or some of the risk, I'll say. Mm. The realtor shares in some of that risk. Mm-hmm. The realtor goes out and produces, brings it back. The broker participates in the profits. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when the attorney sets up shop, they'll go out and cut their deal with the title agency. You have to say it's a 50-50 split. Mm-hmm. So anything that the attorney, now the fee office, brings in and runs with his own personal escrow officers in a traditional setting, he'll pay his own payroll, all that kind of stuff, and run his business. But he'll run his business on the platform of a title agency.
Gotcha.
Now, let's talk about that just for a second.
Okay.
First off, there are some phenomenal fee offices in Texas. Mm-hmm. Okay. But there's some horrible ones too.
Okay.
And just remember,
and you got to tell us the difference between the two. I'm sure you are.
I just did.
Okay.
The fee office is really just an attorney that's participating on a title agency's platform.
Right.
He has really no skin in the game outside of an E&O insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of like the name of my organization is Community National Title.
Mm-hmm.
Community National Title is out of the fee office business.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because we've got a lot of business and it just doesn't work in our model now.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had phenomenal fee office relationships. We've had not so phenomenal fee office relationships. The reason is because a fee office attorney is not going to care about Community National Title like I do.
Mm.
Because it's not really, you know, their name or their hide right at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they mess up under the Community National Title brand, mm-hmm. well, they can go down the street to the next title agency and do it again.
Mm.
And if they're doing enough business, some title agencies don't necessarily care about quality as much as quantity.
Mm.
And we've all been guilty of that in some capacity, in some aspect of our life.
Mm.
But unfortunately, in the title business, there's no room for that.
See.
And some people tend to, you know, take the money over quality.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, there's no really real risk in the traditional sense of if you mess up here, you won't be able to do it again.
Right.
No, if you're running numbers, somebody gonna pick them up.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Right. Makes
so,
sense.
So
that fee office is that attorney that's basically referring business onto your platform. Yeah. So they don't have any liability, if you will.
Well, they do.
But it's a small, not the
it's
liability.
Not
that,
because here's the deal.
Mm.
If it goes rogue and I cut them, well, they're gone.
Right.
Well, you know, that policy is in place.
Right. So you're still responsible.
Yeah, and it might be, and we've already paid them out their split
mm.
in most situations.
Right.
So once they're gone and it comes up, that policy will hopefully be filed on their E&O insurance. But
mm.
if it's not, it goes on our E&O insurance.
Mm.
And you know what? I had a scenario not very long ago
mm-hmm.
In Austin where an individual that was a fee office of mine, you know, he really did a number on a particular group. And it was crazy because the guy blasted me on Google or, you know, one of the places where you leave reviews. And then he hit me on Facebook. Then he texted me. Got my number. He texted me. And I'll show it to you, Charles. It's on my phone, but I'll show it to you. And I want you to tell the people exactly what I'm telling you. You confirm it.
Right.
When he hit me, I said, well, I'll send it to my COO and she'll deal with it. You know, give me an opportunity to fix it. But I assure you we'll make it right.
Right.
Well, then I realized he had put the reviews out after that. So I called him. Well, I didn't call him. I texted him. I said, well, look. I noticed you put a review. It's pretty scathing. I understand that you're frustrated. All that I ask is that you take it down for now.
Right.
Let my team and I
give
have an opportunity to look at it.
Right.
And then I told him that if we don't make you whole or you don't feel good about it afterwards, put it back up.
Right.
But when I was asking him to take it down, I told him, look, I'm asking you to take it down fully understanding that you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. You've had a horrible experience, and if I were you, I would do the same thing.
Right.
All I'm asking is just give me a shot.
Right.
Because I feel like you're going to feel real good
mm-hmm.
after, you know, we get involved.
Right.
And sure enough, you know, it's been resolved and
mm-hmm.
everybody's happy. But after hearing kind of what he had gone through,
mm-hmm.
I'd be pissed off too.
Right.
So that's one of my fee office experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I have far more great experiences than I do that type of experience.
Right.
But that's the reality of what could happen. The difference when you're doing business with a title agency,
mm-hmm.
a title agency like Community National Title is an agency that basically has a group of underwriters. Like
mm-hmm.
we have Fidelity, under Fidelity we have Chicago and a slew of other companies that,
mm-hmm.
that Fidelity owns. But then we have, you know, North American Title, then we have TRG, investors, we got a bunch of
mm-hmm.
different underwriters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So technically, they're underwriting our work. What does that mean? That means when we go out and we insure a piece of business, they're going to get 15%
mm-hmm.
of our revenue,
mm-hmm.
our profits, right, for underwriting it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the money behind the insurance that backs it,
mm-hmm.
okay? So that's the second type, an agency.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can go to a direct,
mm-hmm.
where you go to a First American,
okay.
or you go to a Fidelity. These companies
go directly to Chicago Title.
Well, Fidelity is Chicago.
Oh,
Chicago
okay.
Title is owned by Fidelity.
Ah, gotcha.
So if you went directly to Fidelity,
mm-hmm.
they are a direct.
Mm-hmm.
They not only are in the the retail, but they're also in the underwriting business as well,
right?
So what are the differences? And we may be getting off track, and you rip me back in when you want to, obviously, right? But the differences are the big boys, the directs, the Stewart titles, the First American titles, the Fidelity titles, they usually are not near as flexible. It's like a, and I love my all of them, but I speak my truth, right? But they're kind of like Walmart.
Right.
You just go in, get what you want. It is what it is.
Right.
If you don't like it, you can go somewhere else, right? Whereas when you start getting into the agencies like mine, and I'm not going to just big up Community National Title. I think there are a lot of phenomenal agencies in Texas. And all of us are in this fight together where we're looking for an edge to be more agile, more flexible, provide better service, provide, you know, just more things to the end user, but not just the end user, to people like yourselves, our direct clients, because we're really a B2B type, you know, business, right? And then you bring the end client normally. So, you know, we want to provide as many perks, as much value, and just things to make your life better. I often say, when I'm talking to some of my realtors, I say you have to tell people who you are, what you do, and how who you are and what you do can make your client's life better. And the same is for me too. My name is Johnny Collins. I'm a Community National Title, and we want to help you with all of your global title needs. 972-528-6508. Please give us a call. We'd love to help.
We won't have a need for a commercial break. We just had that commercial just kind of slid. I like the way you slid that in. But really, I think a lot of folks don't understand really what a title company does, and I really appreciate you taking the time to break that down. You mentioned endorsements. I'd like for you to kind of talk about the different types of endorsements and what that might mean to a client. You talked about that flexibility, you know, in practical terms. What does that flexibility look like? You know, and I'll say this, and maybe you could share, and I know I'm hitting you with three things at once, but I know once you get going, you know, I got to give you... I got to give you some things to keep on. But, you know, we've had deals where we get to the title company because they're time-sensitive deals. Now, if you don't know what that means, if you're an owner of commercial real estate and you have to close a transaction on a certain date, if you don't close that transaction on that date, then there could be consequences.
It's a waterfall.
Yeah, you could lose the deal. You may be subject to additional costs or expenses. Again, like I said, the worst thing that could happen, you put a lot of money, time into that deal, and you just absolutely lose the deal. So the title company is really, really important. At what stage in that transaction should the parties involved be talking to the title company?
As early as possible.
Now tell me why that's important.
Because here's the thing. So give you kind of a play-by-play. When you send an order over to the title company, right, to us, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to enter it into our system. And then we're going to have our examiners, our abstractors, who basically do really the toughest part, in my opinion, right, in the title process. And that's examine who the owners and who the sellers are, I should say, right?
Okay.
And to make sure that there's no encumbrances on title, any clouds on title, any federal liens, something that's going to basically cause the transaction not to happen or prevent the conveyance of the property from, you know, from A to B.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So once you figure those things out, and let's say you come up with a list of things that need to be solved. You know, there's a federal tax lien here. There's a credit card lien here. There's a mechanics lien there. They'll provide you this list of things that have to be cured. Mm-hmm. Now, what we do is we tend to do as much of it as possible in-house. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, they'll give us, you know, permission, and we'll start contacting, you know, folks on people's behalf, and do our best to cure it. But sometimes we can't. So now we need you to call, you know, your sister that's in, you know, Alaska, and you haven't seen for 52 years, right? And say, hey, you know, she needs to figure out why they got this lien on mama property for her stuff.
Right.
And that can be a process.
Right.
Now, I talked about flexibility earlier. I believe in making business decisions. Mm-hmm. Because all the title business is, all you're insuring is risk.
Right.
On the grand scale of things, mm-hmm. right? So depending on the risk level of the problem, if it's a small risk, maybe sometimes, you know, we'll you know, get some type of legal document and we'll circle around it and we'll put some money over here and just, you know, hold it just to make sure we get the job done.
Mm.
But so if it's a million-dollar problem.
You have that kind of flexibility that if there's a small issue, whereas a large title company or a one of the directs, the Walmarts, as you mentioned before, they may be inflexible.
They don't have to do that. They got $300 million in the bank.
Right.
That's not something that they have to do. For me, I want your business.
So you can kind of figure out a way to get around that.
Yeah, we're going to figure out a way to get around it. You know what I mean? We're going to figure, and I shouldn't say get around it. We're not going to tell you no. We're going to tell you this is how we make it work.
Ah.
Does that make sense?
So you're more not just providing that title policy, you're actually advising the client if there's an issue that comes up.
Well, that's like, so I told you about my examiners and my abstractors, right?
Right.
I tell you, they do the hardest part.
Right.
Okay, after their job is done, we get to the escrow officers and the escrow assistants. They also do the hardest part.
Mm.
Because it's like it's in levels.
Right.
Once you get through dealing with dead people and the documents,
right.
Now you deal with the personalities of the people who are alive.
Right.
And it just depends. You know, some people have the ability, some people are doers.
Right.
And some people aren't.
Right.
So if you give some people a list of things to go cure, you know what they do? They go do it.
Right.
You give another group, you know, a list of things to go do.
They may do it or may not do it, right.
Yeah, it ain't personal. It's just not, that's just not their makeup.
Right.
So we have to position our team and basically equip them with the ability to not just manage the transaction,
right.
but also manage personalities of the people involved. And I think one of the things that people really get frustrated with on title is the lack of proper expectations being set on the front end.
Mm.
So I always tell our clients, as our staff, our teammates, because I don't believe in subordinates and superiors within my organization.
Mm.
I believe that we're a big team. So right. It's like I'm going to be a little coach here.
Mm.
But it's, you know, we have to set proper expectations on the front end and just let people know, hey, look, this is what this is the goal that we're working toward.
Mm-hmm.
But here are the things that we'll need on the front end.
Right.
If we get all these things in today, mm-hmm. we'll be ready by tomorrow. If we don't get all these things in today, we might not be ready until next month, you know, 30 days later.
Wow.
But it depends mm-hmm. on how we work together.
So you that's communicate. Why, and that's important.
Yeah, it's everything.
Yeah. And if you're working with a title company that, they don't have the capacity or the time or the desire to communicate with you throughout that process, you have an issue. You may not realize you have an issue yet, but
it's coming.
If you're trying to get that deal closed in a timely manner, you better have a great relationship with that title company.
And so here's the thing, you know, everybody can do easy work,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like you do big deals, right? And traditionally, and obviously in a perfect scenario, when you're working with a proven, you know, commercial broker, commercial investor, they've been here before.
Right.
And they usually have a tendency to have a team that makes sure everything is teed up. You know, it's a process that's well oiled. It works, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people, especially in the markets today, that are just getting into the industry. They bring in a lot of money to the table, but they don't really know what they're doing.
Right.
So the process is not quite as smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from our perspective, we want to be the type of teammates within the transaction that can not only deal with the easy transaction, but the folks that are new to the business. I always say we want to help you with all of your global title needs.
Mm.
That means, first off, let's set some expectations. You know, what is your experience level? Okay, great. Well, let me run you this little checklist. Go through this and tell me what all of this that you already have in place.
Mm.
None of it, no problem. We're going to coach you through this, right?
Gotcha.
Now, here's the thing. As a title agency, you know, we take a third-party position.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't pick a side.
Right.
We do what's best for the overall transaction.
Gotcha.
But I can provide you with some literature and some documentation to make sure along the way mm-hmm. that you check in the box.
Right.
Because if you truly check in the box, not just for the sake of doing it to make you feel good. But you're putting the information, uploading, doing all that stuff, and then checking the box. It'll work. You'll learn faster. Our life will be a lot simpler. Your life will be simpler. You'll get your money exactly when you thought you was going to get it, and everybody's happy. Mm. And then it's rinse and repeat. But what happens is this. You get in, and you buy this bundle of single family residence, and your financing says you need to have a survey on all of it.
Right.
But the way you bought it, you told them that you didn't need a survey. But now you want T19 coverage in your title policy, right? But we're not going to cover your surveys because you don't have none.
Right.
But you got 700 single family properties out there. And and the way people do it is like, yeah, but I just spent, $15 million on this. It's not a matter of whether or not we want it. Of course we want it.
Right.
But we are in the business of legalities.
Right.
This is not an emotional discussion.
Right.
This is when the stoplight is red,
right.
Stop.
Right.
When it's green, go. Same concept. So
right.
We find ourselves, basically just kind of coaching people up and setting proper expectations and really asking people, well, I do. I always say, try your best to remove your emotions from the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And let's look at this like a math equation.
Right.
2 + 2 = 4.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, all day, rain,
sleet,
snow,
right.
Yeah, it won't change.
Right.
Well, if we handle transactions with the same concept of 2 + 2 = 4, mm-hmm. we'll be good.
Right.
But we bring variables that we negotiated in anticipating that it's going to work within the equation, and it doesn't.
Right.
So that's usually where, you meet a guy, he has a deal in the contract, financing is great, you tell him he needs $3 million, yeah, I got $3 million, no problem.
Right.
Tells you, you tell him to send it to the title agency, title company. He says, great, I'll take it up there today.
Right.
Well, when he shows up, he brings a duffel bag of $3 million.
We can't do that.
Yeah, it's like, no.
We can't do that and not go to jail.
And not go to jail. Right. But you know what's funny about it? We've had scenarios like that. I'm
right.
talking about with good, upstanding people.
Right.
And they just want to pull this money that they've been, whatever they've been doing it for. Like, no, send the money from your bank.
Right.
Or I tell people all the time.
And it's got to be seasoned.
Yeah. I mean, that's another conversation.
Right. That's
another
conversation.
But I tell people all the time, too. Like, look, we're not going to take a cashier's check over a certain amount.
Right.
Now, all we're doing is wires.
Right.
Because it's like, it's so much fraud.
Right.
It's so much opportunity for evil.
Mm-hmm.
In the transaction, and we just have to do our best to set the proper expectations and really just quarterback it, from start to finish.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. So I'm obviously in the finance area, or if I'm an owner or buyer, I need a title policy. What would you say are the top 5 questions I should be asking my title company? And I hope... Now, I noticed that I've been in this business a long time. People just go out and choose title companies based on a whim, right? They don't really interview the title company. But I would imagine you would recommend interviewing who your title agency is going to be, or that title broker, or what do you call that?
A fee office.
But if you're going to determine who your title company is going to be, what would you say are the top 5 questions you should ask them when engaging their services?
Well, I don't have 5.
Okay.
I do have 3.
Okay, give me 3.
The first one is basically, depending on the role or your role in the transaction. So I'm gonna do it from your perspective.
Okay.
Right?
I'm lender.
Yeah, but specifically you.
Okay.
Because Pioneer, you guys have a really good book of business, and you work with a particular clientele.
Right.
Okay. So when you start working with high net worth people or transactions, right, the first thing I'm going to ask is, who are your underwriters?
Mm.
Because you want to make sure that that whoever you're dealing with, the underwriters have the capacity to underwrite. Like I picked up a $58 million deal yesterday, right?
Wow.
Which on the grand scale of things is not a huge transaction, but it's a really big transaction.
Mm.
And every underwriter does not have the capacity to just underwrite it.
Right.
They'll go back and reinsure it with somebody else. And it's a lot of underwriters right now popping up in Texas, right?
Right.
So I believe in the Fidelities. Shout out to Bill James and Derek Lynch. They're my guys over there. on the underwriting side, they have been just super duper important to our growth and, you know, in our trajectory over the years. Mm-hmm. And there's never been a time where we got a transaction where they didn't make it work for us. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now we're seasoned, mm-hmm. and there are certain questions I don't have to add, or permissions I don't have to ask them for anymore, because they trust us.
Right.
And they know that we can do what we need to do to make sure we're all protected. Because when we write on their paper, mm-hmm. you know, their neck is on the line too.
Right.
So who is the underwriter? The second one, who is the escrow officer? Mm. And what is their experience level, right? For a long time, I didn't have great commercial escrow officers. Mm. And it was a thorn in my side. Mm. Now, God has blessed me with a particular skill set. You may or may not have already guessed what that is. I love to talk, right? And I was able to talk up on a lot of business. But, you know, we really worked hard to make transactions happen when sometimes we weren't necessarily qualified to do it. Mm. Luckily for us, it was never shown, because people like Bill James and Derek Lynch's and covered. Ashley Spruels of the world, yeah, they came and they helped us.
Right.
And they covered us. Mm-hmm. They didn't just cover it, they covered us.
Right.
It's like a father would take care of his son when mm-hmm. his son is in over his head, right?
Right?
Come in, make sure it's done well. Mm-hmm. All right, boy, you better learn from that. Don't call me no more next time you do it on your own, right? So we hired some really great people, and then I was blessed to hire Candy Sandlin. Candy Sandlin has been one of the top, you know, commercial escrow officers for a long time in DFW area, but then she went up the ranks. Well, she's my COO now. Mm. So she's been really pivotal in training, and I have Catherine now. I mean, I've got some amazing people now, right? So, you know, any top transaction in Texas from a commercial perspective, you know, we involved in some kind of capacity. Mm. So it's that's something that I'm excited about.
So who's your underwriter? Who's your escrow?
Who's your escrow officer?
And then?
Lastly, how will the title experience be?
Mm.
Now, that is
that's a good question.
And that is a blank canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I'm going to go backwards on this, right? I'm going to work up to you.
Mm.
But from a single family perspective, when it's somebody buying a new home, if it's a new home buyer, it needs to be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
They need to know that this is the most important and exciting thing to happen, not only to you today, but to me.
Right.
And I'm sharing in your joy. And when you make these things memorable, it becomes an episodic memory. It's something that they never forget, right? Mm. And it creates a culture, you know, or a memory for people, you know, that dictates and really starts kind of their new journey into home ownership.
And that's true, because I can remember when me and my wife closed on our first house.
Yeah.
I remember what I was wearing. I remember what she was wearing. I remember being nervous, but you're absolutely right.
Oh, man. Yeah. We pop after everybody's closed, we popping bottles, we pouring oranges, we got mimosas going, we might have some donuts, we might have some chicken.
Right.
You can't never tell what we're going to have. Right. You know what I mean? But we believe in making it an experience.
Oh, wow.
Right?
That's great.
So that's at the, you know, the entry level, right? Mm-hmm. But when you start getting on the commercial side, really large transactions, well, the buyer might be in Dubai.
Right.
So now you have to have the ability to know how to, you know, do mobile closings at the embassy.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of things here.
Yeah,
so
I've had title companies that will close at the airport. I had a client that was flying in to on a transfer at an hour, and my title company, who I was using at the time, they met him at the airport, got documents signed, and
hey, man, let me tell you something. We got into business in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
In 2010, mobile closings were not popular. We had one location. We were doing, you know, 400 or 500 closings a month at a one location, and all of them would be mobile closings.
Mm.
I used to go to Terminal D all the time and sign documents on the hood of cars.
Wow.
For guys, you know, at the time, you know, we had some. The military situation was different, but guys would be going in and out of the country.
Mm.
That's what you do, but it all boils back to how was the experience?
Mm-hmm.
What is the experience? Are you giving people an experience that they're going to remember? Or are you giving people simply an experience that they said, man, you know what? I was able to close, you know, quickly and efficiently and get on with my day.
Because
everybody don't want to, you know, Taj Mahal experience.
Right,
some folks want a McDonald's experience.
Right.
I want number three, supersize it, you know, a Sprite, extra ketchup, and some honey.
Right.
Keep pushing.
Right.
And I'm okay with all of that.
Right.
But it goes back to what I said initially, you have to set the proper expectations on the front end.
Absolutely.
If you do that, you know, you'll be okay.
All right. Mr. Johnny Collins.
Yeah.
That's his top three. Remember that. Who's the underwriter?
Who's the underwriter?
Who's the escrow agent?
Who's the escrow officer?
And what is that experience going to be?
And what is the closing experience going to entail?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much for being a part of our show. Oh, definitely. And Community National Title.
Community National Title.
Now,
yes,
I'm
going
to give you another chance for your shout out. If someone wants to talk to you, if they want more information about the title business, then what should they do? Who should they contact?
Well, first thing you can do, you can call 972-528-528. 6508. That's our headquarters in Dallas off of Quorum, 14800 Quorum. And they'll get you fixed up. Ask for Lisa Montez, and she's amazing. She'll direct you and get you going in the right place. Or you know what? You can call me directly, 817-300-7243. I'd love to talk
to
you
cell,
about your
man.
Talent. Yeah, it's my cell phone.
Why are you giving yourself?
I always give myself. Let me tell you what I believe
man.
In. Let
this,
me tell you what I believe
man is
in.
Serious.
My business partner, Philip, you see, he called me.
Right,
I picked
right.
up the phone so he can hear me talking.
Okay.
But one of our taglines is founded on relationships, fueled by relationships.
I got it.
So it's like if you call me and you have a need, doggone right, I'm going to answer the call and we're going to ring the bell for you.
There you go.
And we'll figure it out. So that's important to me.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Johnny Collins, thank you so much for being a part of our show and love to have you back at some point in the future. But definitely thanks for educating our audience about the title business.
My pleasure. Hope you learned something today. And if you didn't, call me. We can talk more about it.
All right. So we're helping you win. You got to know the players. You got to know the game. If you're going to be in a position to win here in this game called life, right?
That's right.
So keep it up and keep joining our show. And that's what we're doing. We're teaching people how to win at this capital game.